Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on our website. And we're so glad that you have joined with us today. If you're a Christian, I'm so thankful that we can gather together around the Word of God. Now, wherever you are in the world, we believe you are here by divine appointment. We as Christians believe that, as the Scripture teaches, a good man steps, and I don't mean good in ourselves. I'm talking about good because God has saved us. Sin doesn't reign in us, and Satan doesn't control us anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ and doing righteously because of the person and power of the Holy Spirit's work within us. Praise God. Reproducing the character of Jesus within us, called the fruit or product of the Holy Spirit's work within us. Hallelujah. Well, that's His great task today, and it's our great blessing today. Amen. So you stay tuned if you will today, because I believe God is going to speak to everyone in this audience in a particular way about a subject that's very important, particularly in the times that we are living. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. I believe we're living in the end times. I believe there's enough biblical evidence and looking at the world about us and in our nation itself to be able to declare without any shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is coming soon. And it's getting very, very rough. According to the Scripture, it's going to get rougher. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. I believe when Jesus talked about the sign of His coming, answering the question, when will it be? When will this occur? And when shall all of these things be? One of the things that He talked about was men's hearts failing them for fear and looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. He talked about earthquakes in diverse, which means various, many various places, the sea and the waves roaring. Said this before, I want to preface this teaching by saying it again. I believe, yes, it could very well be the tidal waves that are earthquake at sea is going to produce. We saw that in Japan not too many years ago, what a devastating roaring wave that came in and just took everything in its path. I also believe it can be the condition of the nations and the peoples of the world, the unrest, the absolute chaos around the world, the rioting, the wars, rumors of wars, all of that, because the Scripture is very clear in the Old Covenant, the wicked are like the waters, are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. This is a storm so great that no matter how deep it is to the bottom of the deepest part of the sea, the storm on top is creating the shaking and stirring the very bottom where it should be so deep the storm on top would not affect it, but the storm is so great on top. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters on the top cast up mire and dirt on the bottom. This is exactly what we're seeing today, the sea and waves roaring. The Antichrist will come out of the sea, or out of the multitude of the peoples of the earth. The false prophet will come out of the sea. The beast in Revelation comes out of the sea of people. That's what that word sea means. It's figurative of all the peoples and all of the nations. And the chaos that we're seeing in America is not limited to America. It is worldwide. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God. See, the reason there's no peace, there is no place that will be un. affected by this. There is no person that shall be unaffected by this. So, friend of mine, we need to recognize the times that we are living. This is no time to compromise. This is no time to go along with in order to try to have the peace of not being persecuted or escaping the pressures of the last days. But this is a time to draw close to God and to find what we need in Christ and through Christ in order to stand and not be part of the falling away, because we're in the last of the last days. The beginning of sorrows has begun. And the scripture said, when we see these things that we are seeing now, globally, nationally, and personally, lift up your head. Hallelujah. Your redemption is drawing nigh. This is the for real coming of the Lord, not these predictions that have failed down through the years. So we want to talk about Jesus keeping power, but he's going to keep the keepers of the word. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I am persuaded that he, Jesus, is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. We're going to identify that day here in just a moment, here in the book of Revelation. And we're going to see Christ's personal commitment to keep the keepers of his word and to help us to keep the word so he can keep us. Paul said, I'm going to commit myself to obeying him, serving him, and following him. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've committed while he's literally keeping me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible, end time Christian, let's get in the Word of God. Let's find out how to live victorious in these end times, because we are, as the Scriptures declare, kept by the power of God until the day of redemption. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the keeper of the keepers of his Word. In the book of Revelation, this letter to the church of Philadelphia, in verse 8, it says, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Thou hast a little strength. I want you to know it's going to be God's grace. It's going to be God's power that keeps us. But we have the strength of our will to obey. And if God sees your will to obey, he will help you and I with the weaknesses that we have, in particular, the weakness of our flesh. God will help you. God will help me. He has helped me. And I know if you keep trusting him, he's going to help you too. Praise God. Listen to this. You don't need a lot of strength. You need the grace of God. You need the person and power of the Holy Spirit in order to keep the Word of God, so God can keep you. And God grants that to us, and God gives that to us, and God is committed through Jesus Christ to keeping you and I, hallelujah, sealing us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Listen, let me read it again. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And listen, even with a little strength, you've kept my word. How in the world can we keep his word? Because we recognize that in our flesh is no good thing. We recognize we in ourselves, even with the holiest of resolve in and of ourselves, will not have enough in order to stand the test and the trials and the tempest of the storms of life, and particularly the attack of the enemy in our life. But it doesn't take but a little strength to say, Lord, I want to obey you. I intend to obey you. I'm seeking to obey you by surrendering to you. But I'm looking to you. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, you know, when I am weak, in other words, when I have a little strength, then am I made strong. Therefore, I'm going to take pleasure in that reminds me, those trials, those tests that remind me of how desperately I need you and how dependent I must be on you for any and all victory in my life. Amen. Because he had an emissary from Satan that was troubling him, that was attacking him constantly. And he said, you know, I prayed 3 times for God to deliver me from this. God did not answer and God did not deliver him from it because it was God's intention to take him through it. And it's God's intention to take us through it until he delivers us from it. I believe we're going to have everything we need to endure, no matter how bad it gets, here in the last of the last days, here in the end times. And it's going to get worse. Now, I know, I'd love to be able to tell you that we're just going to, you know, we're going to be able to command everything and demand everything and change everything through our words of faith, and enough Christians are going to take over the government and take over Hollywood and take over the world until we're going to make it a utopia and invite Jesus back to our man-made, self-made utopian world. That is not what the scriptures teach is going to happen. That is not what is happening right now. With the pressure on, there are many that are being weeded out, literally, from following Jesus Christ. If you don't have a commitment in your heart to follow him, there's no way he can keep you. But if you have a commitment in your heart to follow him, he will give us everything that we need to be kept by his power. Hallelujah. All the way until he comes, the day of redemption. Those that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ are already spiritually redeemed, but we need to be physically ready for the return of Jesus, for him to take us to heaven with him until we come back to rule and reign with him. Let me read this again. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door that no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now listen to verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This is a time, dear Christian friend, to hold on so we can hold out until Jesus comes. Because thou hast kept my word and not denied my name. And then verse 10 explains that, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now, I believe we are in that the beginning of that will climax in the tribulation itself. I believe the true church is going to be kept from the plagues and the judgments of the tribulation, because all of that is representative distinctly and directly of the outpouring of the wrath of God. That's why it says the great men, the small men, the rich, the poor, it's talking about in all in between, are going to run to the mountains and cry unto the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So it's very clear early on that everything that's going to occur as judgments upon this fallen world and men and women that have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, trampled underfoot literally the blood of the everlasting covenant, when the cup of his indignation is full, the Bible said he will pour out his wrath upon the earth. Scripture is very clear to you and I as believers. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I've never been more glad to be a Christian than I am right now. This is a fearful time. This is a terrifying time. And the thought of what is about to occur when the day of the Lord breaks upon the earth is most terrifying thought I can think of. We think it's bad now. Even though it's going to get worse, nothing is going to happen before that happens that can compare with what is going to happen when the four horsemen of the apocalypse are released and the tribulation begins. Dear friend of mine, I'm glad I have a God who is able to keep, as Paul said. He said, I'm persuaded, I'm absolutely confident that He is able, faithful and able to keep what I have committed unto Him against that day. That day is quickly coming. Listen, the New King James renders this in Revelation 3:10. This is my command to persevere. This helps us to better convey the meaning. Several verses show how patience, endurance, and perseverance are vital to victory in our Christian lives, especially in the end time, when world conditions will be worse than they have ever been. Listen, Matthew 10:22 says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." You see, Jesus is the keeper of the keeper of His Word. And because we have kept the Word of His patience, patiently endured, patiently persevered. Amen. While literally patiently enduring the pressure to compromise and the pressure go along with the culture, to even being hated and ostracized if necessary to keep His Word, we continue to keep His Word in spite of all of that. And He says, you do that, I'm going to give you the grace to do it. I'm going to give you the strength to do it. If you've got the will to do it and the heart to do it, amen, then I'm going to keep you for keeping my word. What? I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He said in another portion of Scripture about the end times, He said, beware of surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief. For as a snare, it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth, like a trap that claps shut quickly in order to catch its prey. There will be no escaping. That is what it's figuratively speaking of. No one will escape the hour of temptation that is coming to try all the inhabitants of the earth. But it says unto us, we who are saved, we're not children of the night or of the darkness that day overtake us as a thief. We are children of the light. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that we are in the end times. We know the coming of the Lord is near. We know how vital it is that we not just go with the flow in this generation, in this time. And God is moving by His Spirit. Amen. The Lord is calling us to draw near to Him that we may be kept by Him. And we may be empowered and enabled to stand up and stand firm under the pressure of persecution and under the pressure of temptation. Praise God. There are two ways which Christians are to do that. The one is by inwardly cherishing the Word, and the other is by outwardly obeying it. There should be both the inward, counted it as dear and precious, and treasuring it in our mind and in our heart. As the psalmist says, thy word is I've hid in my heart, that I should not sin against thee or offend thee. And also, the regulation of conduct that we usually regard as keeping the commandment, but literally, because we're not under the law, we're putting God's word into practice by obeying it. That's why it says to all of the churches, the seven churches of Asia, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, what the Holy Spirit is speaking unto the church. Do you have a heart to obey? If you have a heart to obey, you've got an ear to hear. Do you have weak flesh and find a struggle with obeying? Somebody say amen. Yes, and I do too. But that's okay, because we are no longer debtors to the flesh to obey it in the lust thereof. Amen. We are no longer under such an influence of the devil and the total influence of our flesh. Amen. That we feel obligated. We just have to sin. No, we don't have to. We may stumble. We may find ourselves slipping on occasion. But sin no longer is to rule and reign within us. Jesus is to rule and reign. I love that song that says, Jesus, reign in me. In other words, be the Lord of my life. And Jesus says, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? This is going to be the difference, you see. This is not works to get saved. It's works that come forth and manifest because we are saved. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a difference in the legalism that says you got to have perfect works to qualify for salvation. No, we have to have perfect faith in His perfect sacrifice. For we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. But we can boast in the grace of God, and we can boast in the goodness of God, and we can boast in the faithfulness of God to us. It is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do by His power, His presence, and His person, His agent, the Holy Spirit. Amen. According to His good pleasure and according to His will. And the scripture's very clear. He that began a good work in you and I will perform it. He will continue to persevere and to move in our life unto the day of Jesus Christ. And the promise of Jesus is, amen, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never, no, never. It's emphatic in scripture. But I will go with you all the way. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Praise God. Listen, once again, Matthew 10:22. Don't let this rock you. Let it cause us to solidify our faith in the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. Listen, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. It's beginning. It's going to exponentially get worse as time goes on. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews, we are made partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Our part is to keep our faith in the faithful one and in His faithfulness, and to keep the faith. The Bible said that you have need that I write unto you, that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's not just defending the faith as an apologist. It is keeping the faith. That's why Jesus said, when I return to earth, shall I find faith? This is not the faith to believe God for your healing or for your help. This is not faith to believe God for material things. This faith here, pistis, it means fidelity. It means being faithful to God under the pressures to compromise, the pressures to make concessions to the devil and to our flesh. It means, if necessary, amen, putting our very life on the line in order to keep the faith. And God makes no apology when He says to us as Christians to be faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. It hasn't come to that here in America, but we should be just as committed to faithfulness as those who are laying their life on the line for the testimony of Jesus Christ around the world today. Why should we be such vacillating, uncommitted, undevoted Christians while they are required to lay their life on the line every day to be true to the testimony of Jesus Christ? Amen. If we keep the word of His patience, friend of mine, be sure He's going to keep us during the hour of temptation, through the hour of temptation, and ultimately from the hour of temptation that is coming to try all the inhabitants of the earth. Listen very carefully to 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4. And it's the power of perseverance in Scripture. 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Amen. This word patience is a different word from the long-suffering type of patience. This is enduring. It means constancy. It means patient continuance. One translation renders it, therefore we boast about your perseverance and faith. The Greek word is translated patience in the King James 29 out of the 32 times, and it occurs in the New Testament. But it is better understood as perseverance. So the majority of the times that you read patience, it is the Greek word for perseverance. It's not taking a number and sitting down. It is continuing to press forward. Amen. That's why faith itself is not placid, and it's not complacent. It is active. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience you possess your souls. In Matthew 18:29, another Greek word is used for patience. Have patience with me and I'll pay you all. That's a different word, and it means long suffering. This is patience to wait with. But this patience we're talking about in the Greek is patience to persevere. One is rendered patience to wait. The other is patience to persevere. Amen. One is patience to wait with. The other is patience to run with. And that's this run with, persevering patience that we find in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, where it says, let us as believers, as Christians, run with patience or perseverance the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Matthew 24:13, the word rendered patience here is rendered endure. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. The Scriptures tell us that we, in our great need, are in great need of perseverance, so that we might stand firm in the face of opposition or temptation, to endure trials and testings while keeping faith in God and keeping faith with God. And God uses our perseverance in order to accomplish His eternal purposes in His people and to keep His promises to honor our faith. Hebrews 10, verse 32, if you read the context, it said, after we were illuminated, we endured a great fight of afflictions. And it didn't just happen to a few people, but to all the brethren. And we have need of patience, perseverance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For he that shall come and will not tarry. Cast not away therefore your confidence, dear brother and sister, which hath great recompense of reward. If we keep on keeping on in spite of setbacks, disappointments, discouragements, God, listen, promises to be true to his word, and his word will not fail because he is faithful. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit now. Don't look back, and don't even think about going back. And I guarantee you, according to the word of God, that God will keep what you commit unto him against that day. He will keep you and keep all that you have committed to him, in particular yourself. He's keeping me today. I'm 76 years old. I've been preaching the gospel and pastoring and evangelizing for 49 years and counting. And there's only one reason that I still have victory in my life. And I'm not a victim of the falling away, and a victim of the deception of the end times, and a victim of looking back or thinking about going back, or literally going back. There's one reason that I can claim for victory today, and that is the grace of God is sufficient, and the power of God is available to me, and the armor of God is available to every child of God, that we might be enabled to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Praise God. Dear friend of mine, there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. Listen, at the close of the first day of the Battle of Shiloh, with serious Union reverses, General U.S. Grant was met by his greatly discouraged chief engineer, James McPherson, who said, "Things look bad, General. We've lost half our artillery and a third of our infantry. Our line is broken, and we are pushed back nearly to the river." Grant made no reply, and McPherson impatiently asked what he intended to do. Listen carefully. I quote, "Do? Why, reform the lines and attack at daybreak. Won't they be surprised?" Surprised they were. The battle was won. The enemy routed before 9 a.m. Dear friend, let me make a statement to you. No one is truly defeated unless he gives up. Oh, friend, don't give up today. Don't give up today. I'm going to take a little more time. I've done this before. I want to quote Gentleman Jim Corbett. Somebody is taking courage to keep on keeping on in this audience today. Gentleman Jim Corbett, who held the heavyweight boxing crown for 5 years at the end of the 19th century, once said, this is a key to his victory. I believe it's a key to ours, and God will give you what you need, amen, to operate this. He said, "Fight one more round. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired you can hardly lift your hands to guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and you're so tired that you wish your opponent would crack you on the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round. Remembering this one thing, that the man who fights one more round is never whipped." Hallelujah. If we will get up and stand up, hallelujah, and stand our ground, I believe God's going to take up the battle. I believe we're going to see a victory for the church of Jesus Christ and every true believer in this last day generation. And instead of a retreat, I believe we're going to see a revival. And I want to be part of it. I'm glad I'm lived to be part of it. I believe mighty revival is going to break out around the world. And I believe it's the last day harvest will be brought in. We've talked about it before. It did not occur. We predicted it, even prophesied it. But now I believe it's time for it. Hallelujah. For when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. He'll stem the tide of that flood. Praise God. And I believe the flood is here and the flood is on. Hallelujah. But the next verse says, because. How does he do it and who does he do it through? Because a Redeemer has come to Zion. And that is prophetic of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who has come and not only redeemed us on the cross, but has come back by and through the Holy Spirit to promise to be with us every step of the way. Praise God. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Take courage today. Take courage today. Because if we commit ourselves by faith in His faithfulness to keep the word of His patience, to patiently endure, amen. I want you to know that He's going to keep us from the hour of temptation. I believe the beginning of sorrows is part of that. And I believe that we're going to be kept, as the Scripture said, by the power of God unto the day that He returns, the day of salvation, takes us home. Hallelujah. Christian, take courage today. Take courage today, because Jesus is the keeper of the keepers of His word. Thy word I've hid in my heart, the psalmist said, that I have not, that I might not sin against you. Hallelujah. 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 Today, if you don't know Jesus, the Scripture says of you that you're without hope and without God in the world. That's a terrifying and terrible place to be. Not only do you not have His help in this last day generation, you don't have His promise to keep you from the hour of temptation. You don't have a supernatural ability granted you and a grace sufficient for you to overcome. And you'll find yourself going with the flow. You find yourself on the broad way that leads to hell instead of the narrow way that leads to life eternal. But that can change right here and right now. You can repent of your sin, receive Christ as your Savior, and become part of the persecuted Christian believers. And I'm going to tell you, but you also become a participant in the keeping power of God, the keeping person, Jesus Christ, the keeper of the keepers of His word. And He will help you. He will save your soul. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. And He'll keep you safe from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name.